Dr. Davy?
Present.
Mr. Donaldson?
Present.
Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Malat?
Present.
Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Moving ahead, I want to take a moment to thank everybody for hard work over the past month. Multi-committee meetings and efforts have been ongoing, which we could not have accomplished without staff and the incredible job that they do. So I want to thank all of our staff and board members for the work that they have put in. I'd also now like to move on to agenda item number 4, which is a call to the public. Ms. Poe, is there anyone there who's requested to speak?
Not at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number 5 is the consent agenda. Here we have multitude of applications. I'd like to ask, are there any recusals from items on the consent agenda? A board member may request to remove an item from the consent agenda for independent discussion and action. Are there any requests?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Dr. Flower.
Yes, I need to recuse from complaint 18-31, Dr. Tenrero. I believe that was in the regular session.
Dr. Flowers, this is Jean Galvin. You're saying that in one of the regular session minutes,
yes, it was the June 7th meeting. I recused from that complaint.
Okay, that won't prohibit you from voting on the minutes as a whole.
Okay.
So you're fine.
Okay.
Okay, good.
All right. Is there a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I motion.
Second.
Thank you. Ms. Shreve moves to accept the consent agenda. Dr. Flowers has seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Like sign. The motion carries. Thank you very much. We will then move on to agenda item number 6. Ms. Jones.
Mr. Chairman, board members, I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention the honor that has been bestowed upon Dr. Bohansky. He's been designated as a fellow of the Association of State and Provincial Psychology Boards, and I believe that will be awarded in September. The next ASPPB meeting.
Congratulations, Dr. Bohansky. That is indeed a great honor, and we are so thrilled for you and proud of you.
And that is incredible. You make us look great, and we're lucky to have you, Dr. Bohansky. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, folks. You certainly can't do things unless you have a tremendous amount of support, and I appreciate all of it. And that's enough about me. Let's get to work. Agenda item number 7 is a request for the appointment of a board representative to serve on the Workforce Data Repository Advisory Committee. What a title. The committee's first goal is to work on their rules. Are there any suggestions or nominations? I would note that Ms. Jones has represented the board at the meetings up to this point. Was that Ms. Shreve?
Yes. What exactly is it that they're putting together that's different than what we have? We have a repository of all of our psychologists. What exactly is it that this group's doing? It wasn't clear from the letter. I mean,
Ms. Jones,
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Shreve, board members, this is a statutory change that came out last year. This year it was supplemented with funding. The Department of Health Services has been given the mandate of creating a workforce data repository system, and it's going to involve all of the healthcare boards. Currently, the first five or six boards include nursing, medical, osteo, psychology, and behavioral health. Subsequently, other boards will be added, but they're trying to create a workforce data data bank so that they can respond to public records requests and respond to possible grants that might be out there. It's going to take a lot of work to determine. They've already started on the rules, or not the rules, but the parameters, because there was a lot of discussion of what they wanted to pull from our own licensing information. So this is to formally organize the committee and move forward with drafting rules.
You know, I am interested because I'm very interested in workforce needs, but I'm afraid. So, do you know how often they're going to meet?
No, they have not provided that information.
Okay. And I might be interested in, you know, too, but again, I mean, I would let you do it first, though. You have much more experience with rules, but are they looking, if they're looking for one of our board members then to be on it?
Well, they've opened it to either. I will say that the other boards have their executive directors are serving on the committee just because we know the systems that we have at each board. Oh. And how that's all going to work with pulling the information. But I'm certainly to work with whoever you all want to appoint to that.
Well, I'm happy to nominate you if that's what, I mean, the best choice? I mean, it's, with that.
Okay.
And you have familiarity with food bowls, actually, not just
that. Right.
Actually, she has familiarity with three boards. And I would like to second Ms. Shreve's nomination, and in saying that, suggest, oh my, the amount of bureaucratic nonsense that you have to understand in this process is quite overwhelming. And I think that Ms. Jones has a relationship with her peers, the executive directors on the other healthcare boards, that would facilitate our representation on this mandatory effort. Is there any further discussion?
I think she'd perfect. I was thinking you wanted a board member. She'd actually be the best. I totally think Ms. Jones, you'd be awesome. You know what? You know, you're very familiar with all of it.
Mr. Chairman, I call for the question, please.
Thank you, Mr. Dr. Joe. We've had the question called for. We have Ms. Jones nominated by Ms. Shreve, seconded by myself. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Like sign. The motion carries. Thank you. And I know this adds another significant chunk of time to your daily schedule, Ms. Jones, but I'm sure with your knowledge of how these boards operate and your peers, your working relationship with them will be well represented. So thank you, and I apologize for the extra workload.
Thank you.
Moving on, agenda items 8, 9, and 10. I have to move back because sitting on the application review committee with Dr. Meyer, I had to recuse from these three cases as I supervised the postdoctoral experience for these. So, Dr. Meyer, I'll turn things over to you if you could handle items 8, 9, and 10, please.
Thank you, Dr. Bohansky. The first one we have is Dr. David Ventola. And he is applying for a waiver. He was approved for temporary license here in Arizona and to take the exam. He passed the ETPP in May. He graduated from RBC in 2017. Completed internship at Southwest Behavioral Health Services, and then completed his postdoctoral hours at Southwest Behavioral Health. References were good, so there were no concerns about his application, and I would suggest it be approved. Any questions or concerns about Dr. Ventimiglia's application?
I'll make a motion to accept it.
Second.
Okay. Does this need a vote?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All in favor? We have a motion to accept. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, it carries.
One recusal.
I'm sorry?
One recusal.
One recusal. thank you. With one recusal. Agenda item number 9 is for the application of Dr. Kiernan Gilbert. Dr. Gilbert applied for the ETPP and temporary license, graduated from Midwestern in 2018, APA accredited, completed internship at Southwest Behavioral Health, also APA accredited, and completed, has partially completed postdoctoral hours at Southwest Behavioral Health, which has been verified. References are approved. Did not see any concerns with the application. And would recommend approving the application. Any questions or comments?
No, I'll make a motion to approve the temporary licensure application.
Second.
I'll second that.
We have a seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries with one refusal. Agenda item number 10 is for the application for Dr. Ruchi Patel for licensure and to take the exam and for temporary licensure. Dr. Patel graduated from University of San Francisco in 2018. That school was APA accredited on contingency, meaning they were just completed the process. Completed internship at Southwest Behavioral Health, which is APA accredited and has in process of completing postdoc at Southwest Behavioral Health. References were good and did not see any concerns with this application and would recommend approval.
Move for approval.
Second. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Nay. All right, motion carries with one recusal.
Thank you very much, Dr. Meyer. We'll then move to agenda item number 11. This is regarding an application submitted for the ETPP and licensure by Dr. Evelyn Bush, PsyD. Again, Dr. Meyer, if you could bring us up to date as to a summary of our findings in reviewing this application.
Thank you, Dr. Bohansky. Dr. Evelyn Bush has initially applied for exam and temporary licensure, has since completed postdoctoral hours and changed to full licensure. The application review committee had concerns about whether Dr. Bush's institution met the residency requirement as specified by ARS 32-2071A. And so the committee voted to forward Dr. Bush's application to the board for substantive review and possibly deny the board withdrawal of the application. A brief summary of the background is that Dr. Bush received her PsyD from Carisma University, which appears to be an online program accredited by Turks and Caicos. We requested confirmation and documentation showing that her program met the residency requirement. We received a letter from Carisma University. This can be found on page 15 of the provided document, which states that students receive a minimum of 375 hours of face-to-face educational discussion, educational meetings, seminars between peers, and interactions with faculty. This occurs on campus and via video conferences. No specific information was provided about Dr. Bush's involvement, nor an indication of how many of those hours were in person versus video. Per ARS 32-2071K3, on request by the board, the applicant shall obtain documentation from the institution showing how the applicant's performance was assessed and documented. So the committee again requested that Dr. Bush obtain from her institution a detailed log or record of in-person meetings, including location, date, and end times, and topics of discussion. The committee received a second letter from Carisma University, this is on page 7, stating Dr. Bush had 300 hours of face-to-face contact with faculty and peers on 4 occasions from June 2017 to July 2018. The committee had concerns about the information provided, as the dates indicated students would have had 10-hour days during one session, 11.5-hour days during another session. Furthermore, no information was provided about faculty members who were in attendance, there were no sign-in sheets for Dr. Bush, and there was no documented assessment of student performance. Nor was there any mention of these meetings or topics on her transcript. A second concern was Dr. Bush's internship and residency, which were both completed at MD24 House Call. Initially, the verification form for internship did not document sufficient supervision. However, a new form was later supplied with sufficient hours. However, there is a discrepancy when comparing the face-to-face educational training with the internship hours log. That can be found on page 231. The log states that during the week of May 7th, 2018 to May 10th, 2018, Dr. Bush worked for 20 hours and had 2 hours of group supervision and 1 hour of individual supervision with no indication of attendance at a workshop or seminar. This is inconsistent with the letter from Carisma University that states Dr. Bush was in Montana from May 2nd, 2018 to May 10th, 2018, covering that entire week. So due to the lack of documentation of residency and conflict with internship hours, again, we voted to forward Dr. Bush's application to the board for possible denial or withdrawal of application. That concludes my summary, and would like to open it to the board for discussion.
Thank you very much, Dr. Meyer. Prior to opening the discussion, I have a question for counsel.
Yes. Go ahead.
Does our law require a university to be regionally accredited?
Believe so. Let me get you the site. Yes, it does. I don't have the site, but it does.
Actually, we do allow foreign institutions, and we've had foreign institutions which are not recently accredited, and there is something further on. If somebody's from a foreign, they have to have the equivalent. And we have done that in the past.
This university is accredited by the island nation of Turks and
It appears to be essentially a board of regents that approves the local high school, as well as this online university. Is that something, and I will defer also to my distinguished academic colleague, Dr. Malott, is that an accreditation that we would find equivalent?
I would have to do a little research. We have a book, Dr. Bohan, that students, when we get transcripts from foreign institutions, and they have to meet a certain rating level, which is the accepted standard in academia. And I would need to look into it. I cannot answer until I look at that book, you know.
Okay, thank you. Yep. And I'd like to open this up for discussion on the other issues. Yep. Is there any discussion?
I believe we have someone on the line who wants to speak to this issue.
Oh, okay. And
yes,
you go ahead, please.
Yes, this is the applicant, Eveline Bush. Because of my, it's not the first time that I got a degree from outside the U.S. I have been state certified with a degree from outside of the U.S. So I'm very familiar with the U.S. requirements to meet the expectation of academics in the U.S. And that is why when I got the degree from Charisma, I did a U.S. evaluation to be able to use my degree inside of the U.S. So the school has to be recognized when you submit for evaluation. If you do not meet the requirements from the institution you come from, you cannot be equivalent to U.S. Validation of a degree and certification. So, and that is why I submitted that evaluation, U.S. evaluation, along with my application. So that way we avoid the question about the school not being accepted inside of USA. When it comes, I heard that you mentioned also about the conflict, the time between me being in internship practice and also being out for the residency. Anytime, if you we have a very, we have an average report from the log of the internship. Anytime we had to be out for weekend, you know, for any time or period of time, we recovered the 3 hours in the weekend before or the weekend after. But the report was always done during the week because of the time period where the office is open. So the report, even though if I was not seeing the patient at that time, I saw the patient, like I saw patients on the weekend prior. Sometimes I had to see patients on Saturday if I had to fly out for conference or for whatever. But when we do the report, when we submit the report to the company, we have to submit the report during the 5 days that the company is open. And that is why it's a conflict of hours there, because we cannot change how we report on the company just because we're going to be out for that week.
Hey, Dr. Bush, this is Dr. Meyer. That report also says that you had 3 hours of supervision for that week. Was that also done on the weekend before or after?
Yeah, the 3 hours of the 3 hours, because the hour supervision, one is like going and showing up for the meeting at the office, and sometimes we have an extra hour supervision individual with your supervisor. And 8 hours, we had a, like a evening you know, hours of supervision apart from the weekly, you know, supervision. So I would have to look at my log and see which one you specifically requesting to see, you know, if it's any kind of extra responsibility that could be given.
Okay, well, the log says that you had 3 hours of supervision during the week that you were in Montana. Did you receive any supervision?
Yeah, some of my supervision, depending on the situation, is face-to-face and video call conference, you know. I know that we allowed only certain numbers. So if I was not present there for the conference, it would be Zoom meeting, face-to-face, but via Zoom. I even have to look at the date specifically because at this point I don't remember. Also, I want to make sure that Charisma, we have a Charisma representative online in case you have any type of question of the validation and the credit of this school. You can also direct any kind of question.
And what is the Charisma representative's name?
I'm Dr. Michael Abala. I'm the program chair for Tulum Psychology, Arizona University.
Thank you, sir, for calling in. The main questions we have is the evidence of residency, which is 300 hours of face-to-face in-person time. Do you have any records of the faculty members, the students, a sign-in sheet for Dr. Bush, any records showing that these meetings occurred, as well as documentation of her performance?
Yes, we do. We do. In every residency or face-to-face meeting, we do use our faculty, and everything is documented. So prior to this meeting, I had my time to review what Dr. Bush was provided by the registrar, and I discovered that what they gave to the board could have seemed to be a summary. There are a lot more of it, like the faculty have performances. But however, at the Arizona University, it becomes the requirement that every student must complete face-to-face meeting internship before they actually receive their degree in clinical psychology. This is a very serious program at Arizona University. We do not document this face-to-face meeting with the transcript. We only document the internship that the students do, the internship site. The reason is because we try to keep our transcript as simple as anything, okay? Documenting everything, all the topics that they had during their face-to-face would mean, means many pages on the transcript. However, our policy says, and students they all know this before they enroll in the program, they must complete a minimum of 1,500 hours internship, clinical internship site, and they have face-to-face meeting. Now, as an online institution, we have students from all over the world, including Africa, and not only America, including the Middle East and Asia. Now, this student is not possible that they will make it all the way to Dr. Kittles, except if you reside in the U.S. or maybe, you know, you can make it over there, because first, Dr. Kittles is a very expensive country. It's really expensive. We have had students that, you know, complain to us too much, you know, coming over there, feeding themselves, hotels, and stuff like that. So we had made provisions to at least hold some face-to-face meetings, in most parts of the world. Now, the way we do this is this. If we have a large number of students in a certain region, for example, if we have some students from Nigeria or from Middle East, we could try to host in Dubai. We do have a lot of students, for example, mostly in Africa and then mostly in Middle East. Even though we have branches also in Nigeria, This branch is not a university branch. This is the center that we use for this type of thing, okay? Now, when we have stuff, people from Nigeria can, of course, they can make it to Dubai. Then from Middle East can also make it to Dubai. We send our faculty at that time of the face-to-face meeting, and all these students will converge in one place in Dubai, and they will begin their face-to-face meeting with the faculty and with the classmates. And those that can make it to Turks and Caicos, they make it up mostly students from the East region, like New York, or maybe Miami. They easily come to Turks and Caicos, you know? And those in Pacific is difficult for them because of the long distance or maybe other commitments they have. And we don't really make it a must for them to be at Turks and Caicos, but it's a must that they have to participate in this face-to-face. And we use our faculty to host this face-to-face meeting.
So, what faculty came to Montana for the meetings that Dr. Bush was at?
Yeah, we have faculty that came to Montana via Abujit. I'm trying to, wait a second. Let me look at this stuff, okay? Yes, Stefan. So the person that came was Dr. Kenneth Dennis. Hello?
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions for the CUSMA representative?
Yes, Doctor, I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
In the gathering in Montana, how many clinical psychology doctoral students were there?
How many? It actually depends. We don't really require a minimum number, but my understanding, according to what I spoke with the registrar, and I also spoke with Dr. Kenneth, they told me that they had a minimum. They had about 13 students that participated.
And how many were clinical psychology students?
This number I gave you were all clinical psychology.
Okay. Let me ask a question of Dr. Bush. In your internship setting, how many doctoral students are there?
As I mentioned on the prior meeting, I do not recall a specific number because I was not really aware that I had to report to that. If I have to guess, in some of the meeting we had like 18, maybe 23 students. That is including faculty member and students.
Let me ask the question again more thoroughly. In the place where you work to do your internship, in Superior, Arizona, how many other doctoral students are there?
I'm sorry, I missed out on the question. We are a group of six, and all of them are psychologists, some of them are clinical psychology. I think it's three or five, maybe four or five for clinical psychology, some of them PhDs, one for forensic psychology. She's from California, and one of the students is forensic psychology. So we were a group of six in the meeting.
Uh,
So, Doctor, are you telling me that in Superior, Arizona, there is a training program with 6 doctoral students?
Yes, surprisingly, yes. If you call MD-24, my supervisor is Dr. Zachariah. She's the one responsible right now. I think she's carrying on, I think, with 5 people, because 2 of us have been checked out of the program, so of the internship program. We're still with the company, but not enrolled in the internship program. So if I'm not wrong, she continues on now with, I think, 5 doctoral programs in psychology. Some of them PsyD, some of them, one of them forensic, and some of them PhD.
Are there other questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering what kind of documentation, I know we have a supervision hours in regards to the internship experience.
Yes, that can be found on page 235 of the document on the board website.
Okay.
Dr. Myers, do you know where her agreement for the internship is? What page number? I'm looking for it.
Yes. 200. Sorry, just a minute. Page 232 is the verification form, and then the supervision hours are page 235. And the actual training plan.
Is that at 272?
Training plan is on 266.
I
I'm wondering if the training plan, Dr. Meyer, could you look at page 272?
I believe that's the residency for the postdoctoral hours.
Okay, sorry.
The one for internship is just before that, like on 268.
I can't open.
Wondering within that, do they indicate that there are two licensed psychologists that are in charge or available?
Yes, Dr. Zachariah and Dr. Ammon.
Okay, I see Dr. Zechariah, is the other one, what did you say the name was?
Yeah, Dr. Zechariah, she's the main supervisor. We have a secondary supervisor, and that is Dr. Emily.
Okay, I guess I'm not, just not looking in the right, but I do see Dr. Zechariah. I see there's Dr. Walden, but appears to be medical doctor, to my clinical manager.
Yes.
But somewhere in the paperwork is the other psychologist as well?
Yeah, Dr. Emmons is also a psychologist licensed.
Does anyone else have any questions about this case?
Yes, Dr. Meyer. I'm wondering if there are supervision logs within this.
Postdoc hours are on page 239, and the internship hours are on 235.
Okay, they show the hours, but not like documentation of who did what when.
Correct.
So I believe that traditionally, like, some general topics are listed within the supervision and what was covered, that kind of thing, not necessarily the client names.
Right. That's my recollection, too. Is that required, I guess, because that's what we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I'm surprised about all of them being questioned right now when we have been going through this meeting. You know, this is a, I think, the number four meeting, and I'm not aware of those concerns and questions until now.
Well, the concerns about the hours came up when I saw the inconsistencies between the most recent letter from Charisma University and your supervision hours. That I mean, the hours you're talking about for residency occurred during your internship hours, and not all of those hours line up. So that brought in additional concerns at this time about the hours.
Yes, and Dr. I really understand your position there. And by the way, I wanna really thank you for your effort and dedication. I know you guys have to be very skeptical, and who you should not approve the license. And I was expecting that kind of concern, because like when we go for the residency. Time of residency and also the practice. The residency, let's say the date for residency was covered like from Wednesday to Monday, one example, you know. The period of residency was covered from Wednesday to Monday. So for that week, I had to work Saturday. I had to work Monday to cover for the number of my patients. And also the number of patients change from week to week. So in 1 week, I may have 25 patients. The next week, I may have like only 15 patients. But when we did the report, we averaged them out for the signature of the supervisor. So we do a weekly report to the company's requirements inside of the 5 days that the company is open. So I hope that explains, you know, some of the completion on that on the date, you know, completing with each other.
Okay, thank you. Are there
I get Dr. Bohan, I do have a question on the hours that are on where am I? 239. The top of it looks handwritten in. Maybe that's not handwritten, but you know what the different columns are. But in the past, I think we have had like a description of what they did or what hours were supervised when they had one vision and one was practice. But it's the standard. I mean, I'm trying to remember what the requirement is in our statute.
And I'm looking in the rules.
So I think in the past it's been more detailed, but I don't know if that's just because that's how it came or that was required.
The log that I see, you know, it breaks it up into, and, you know, logs can be, I mean, you can get supervision notes, that those are progress notes, those are different. A log can be, I mean, they're organized sometimes on the left-hand side of the activities and on the right-hand side, you know, it goes across. So what these type forms of, that is handwritten, Dr. Bush, did you have to handwrite it, or can you explain that, or was it these type forms?
The form was not provided by the psychology, was provided by the director of the program. He's not a psychology major. So there was an Excel sheet that was provided for us to fill it out the hours, because that is the way the company keeps the record. So we had to accommodate our report according to what was provided to us.
Okay, so this is the Excel sheet. And then when you printed it out, you hand wrote the different headers. Is that what you did?
Yes. So I tried to help out. I did the handwriting because I had to do like beyond one page to report, you know, and I had to follow up on the Excel sheet that was provided to us. So you have the heading there. Training when it's face to face, so you see that face to face individual supervision when we did the assessment.
Mm-hmm. I see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to try to accommodate as well as possible because I was following the Excel sheet that was provided to us by the company.
So do you have the original Excel sheet that you printed out?
I probably do.
Okay.
Is there a further question? And I'd like to have discussion among board members. Thank you, Dr. Bush, for attending, and the representative from the university. And I'll start the discussion. This is, I don't know if the wave of the future is going to be international online educational format, but we're going to see more of it, I fear. Here we have a program that not accredited by the profession, and an internship that's not APIC or not APA. It's again kind of a patchwork put together.
I see several concerns, the residency being one, an application review. The doctor couldn't tell me who the faculty were there, who the other students were there, or even the number of students that were there at a residency event. To go through a doctoral residency and not remember the name of the professors or mentors that you had was a concern to me. Today, I hear a concern in which a company's form seems to be more important than an honest representation of the number of hours in a week that we're supposed to accept. Well, we did this many one week and this many another, so we just had our supervisor sign a sheet in which we averaged them across. That type of presentation concerns me. There are so many pieces that we're apparently being asked to look at that, which is why, or at least my stance in the application review was to send it to the board so we could have this discussion, because I find it a troubling application. Other comments?
Dr. Boginski.
Dr. Meyer.
So I have concerns about just the lack of documentation about attendance at these residency locations. I mean, it's standard practice now to sign in and sign out for continuing education credit. It seems like that would be a reasonable expectation for such a training for their school. We don't know who was there. I can't find any information about faculty on their university website. And I'm very concerned that we're expected to just say, ignore the actual dates on the internship hours logs, because you can't be in two places at one time, and the other residency there's some overlap. So I'm very concerned about this as well, and don't feel comfortable approving it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Meyer. Other comments, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Dr. Flower.
Yes, I think I echo both of your concerns. It appears to be international, which is fine, but it's because of that a little bit kind of cluttered about where they go, what they do, and what they count. It sounds like an incredibly interesting bunch of people to work with, a lot of places, but it's hard to see the coherence of different areas and exactly who did what and how the supervision was done and who did it, how long they met, how they were licensed, where. Very concerning or difficult to figure out what went on. As far as, since it is an international university, hard to really see how to compare it with approved programs. And the level of accreditation for the university, I guess that would need to be looked into. It wasn't just, it appears to have some credibility, but we just don't know how much.
Thank you, Dr. Flower.
My suggestion, Dr. Bohensky, is I would like to look into the, you know, I see the West is a evaluation agency that we use to often verify, you know, and they review coursework and they come up with grade equivalencies and things like that. It really helps, especially when you get transcripts that are in a different language. So I've seen the West reports in the past. I would like to, the other thing that I don't see is, I see a lot of syllabi, and I'm still scrolling through the syllabi, I'm looking for the university catalog, which you describe this program and talk about it, and I am not seeing that. I don't know if it's in there, and maybe I'm just missing it. Because that, to me, you know, every university has to have a catalog where they describe their program and they describe what they're about and, you know, the kinds of professions it leads to and, you know, the structure. And I'm looking for that, and I'm not seeing, unless, you know, so I would like to see the university catalog which describes this program and their other programs. It looks like they have a business program based on the West evaluation that went up for ASCCB, which is a very stringent accreditation of business program. It's a U.S. Accreditation agency.
Yes.
But I'm looking for the program catalog. So I'd like to see that. I'd like to get more information.
Okay.
And
the other piece that I had to bring up, but it appears that when they do these residencies, they bring in doctoral candidates from all the programs. And some of this residency is with students in the business program. I'm not sure that they split them out or are the two or three or six or whatever. I couldn't get a clear answer. The psychology people are mixed in. It's just the residency thing is still not clear for me. I'll tell you what I'd like to do, and I'm going to, I don't know if we need a motion for this, but I'd like to table this decision until our August meeting and give Dr. Milan a chance to look at the accreditation reference for this university, and perhaps Dr. Bush can supply us with a catalog from the university in some way, shape, or form, and some clarity on the residency attendance, if at all possible. Council, do I need a motion for that?
Now, is there a consensus with the other board members that tabling is appropriate?
Yes, I would.
Okay, and Dr. consensus?
Dr. Brahansky, the representative from the university also said that he recently spoke with the registrar, and there's information that was not provided to the board, that what was given to Dr. Bush was more of a summary. So I guess I would urge the representative that if there's additional information from the registrar that would help the board assess the qualifications, that should also be provided.
Thank you, and we will ask Dr. Bush to facilitate getting that to us, and then we will table this to the August meeting and have it on the agenda there, and hopefully we'll have enough information to make a decision, and I thank everybody for taking the time and looking at hundreds of pages of information and trying to make a decision. Thank you.
Dr.
Flower.
I wonder if supervision logs for the internship would be helpful as well.
And if you would find, yes, that would be helpful. Dr. Bush is encouraged to provide supervision logs.
I can work with the board staff to write the letter of everything that we're looking for.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Meyer. Great. Excellent. All right, we're going to move on to agenda item number 12. This is discussion, consideration, and action regarding a behavior analyst application for licensure submitted by Michael Reed and possible denial thereof. Dr. Davis Wilson, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Michael Reed submitted an application for initial licensure, and the committee reviewed the application. During the review, we did note that the supervisor was located in the state of Alaska, was licensed in the state of Alaska, but not licensed in Arizona. It makes up for a total of about 1,200, just over 1,200 of the supervised experience hours. The committee was concerned that without the license, the Arizona-specific license, because the supervision occurred in Arizona, the individual was in Arizona and the consumers that received services were here in Arizona, the committee determined that it would be our recommendation that those specific hours do not count in accordance to our current statute, requiring that the supervisor be licensed in the state of Arizona. So we are bringing it forward for your guys' review, the current recommendation that we provide, and Reed the opportunity to withdraw her application, seek the additional supervision, and then reapply when she is ready.
Thank you very much. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chairman,
hearing none.
Mr. Chairman, I do believe Mikhail Reed is on the phone.
I would like to withdraw my application. Okay, very good. If we could then proceed in that fashion, we don't need a vote on this.
No.
Let's get the supervision done that meets the requirement and welcome her back with open arms when such is accomplished.
I would need a motion to allow her to withdraw at this stage.
Oh, okay. Is there a motion to... Is there a second?
Motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Agenda item number 13 is a discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding legislative updates. Ms. Jones, would you provide the board with an update in this matter?
Mr. Chairman, board members, I do not have an update today. We are awaiting the Attorney General's interpretation of 2569. I understand we should be getting that
today,
but I don't have it yet. So I'll
That's good.
I'll report in August.
I'm excited to see that one. Thank you very much. Then we'll move on to agenda item number 14, discussion consideration possible actions regarding an update progress on the sunset audit report. Ms. Jones.
Mr. Chairman, board members, I did not have a lot to report this month. We've finished up a 90-day tracking of time spent on various activities so we can try to align our costs with our licensing fees. So I hope to have a more robust report for you in August.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I'll move on to agenda item 15, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding a consent agreement for surrender of Dr. Gloria Malone. Jones, could you provide us a summary?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, board members. On June 26th, our office received a complaint from a GC regarding Dr. Malone. It indicated that she was intoxicated and she was incoherent, and as a result, GC and his wife left the session but called 911 to ask for a welfare check. Police and ambulance did arrive, and they ended up taking her to the hospital. As a result of that, the police report indicated that they smelled alcohol. So Ms. Michelson and Ms. Galvin and I started working on a consent agreement for an evaluation due to the possibility of being intoxicated while providing services. When I reached out to Dr. Malone about signing or agreeing to that evaluation, she said that she was considering withdrawing or just asking for her license to be dropped. And so I started discussing the surrender option with her. The following week, we received the hospital medical records, and based on the BAC and those reports, we understood that it was much more serious, and we decided, in speaking with Ms. Galvin and Ms. Michelson, we asked her to get that consent agreement back to us today, or for today's evaluation or review. So we have presented the consent agreement. She has signed it. She signed it yesterday. And so with your approval, I would move forward with signing that and executing that for her to surrender her license.
Thank you. Is there any discussion from board members?
She had indicated to Ms. Jones her unwillingness to undergo an evaluation.
I'm aware. Yeah, thank you. Is there a motion to accept the consent agreement?
I shall move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Do we need a roll call vote on this one?
You do.
Yes.
I also. Ms. Poe, if we could please have a roll call vote.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Davis Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Donaldson?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer?
Dr. Meyer, are you on mute?
I'll come back to Dr. Meyer. Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer? Dr. Meyer? Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer, are you on the line still? We may have lost Dr. Meyer. We have 7 yeses. Motion carries.
Thank you very much. I just want to make a quick personal statement here. Having awareness of Dr. Malone's work from the early 70s, did a hell of a lot of good work with an awful lot of kids for a lot of years. And while this is a sad conclusion to a career, I just wanted to note that for many years she did a hell of a job. Thank you. That takes us to agenda item number 16, which is a new agenda item for future meetings. Are there other recommendations, suggestions, or items?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Dr. Flowers.
Yes, this isn't actually a new agenda item, but I believe we didn't do something on agenda item number 9. I think we overlooked that section. That was her request for special accommodations for the EPPP. And,
I was recused during that, and Dr. Meyer handled that.
I show it approved.
You took action.
Okay, pardon?
I show it approved.
Yeah.
For the special accommodation?
I think he's right. I don't recall doing that item.
I think we approved that, she wants to sit for the EPPP. That I think we approved, but the request for special accommodation, I don't think we touched on.
Okay, Dr. Flower, would you pick up as Dr. Meyer appears to be offline?
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Got picked up. Thank you. Dr. Meyer, then, the question is, perhaps on this item I was recused on number 9, that there was additionally a request for accommodation that was not discussed.
Yeah, and I missed that and still don't see it. Dr. Flowers, where, what page is that on?
Okay, my computer is acting out, but she did request special accommodation, and she did submit documentation from a physician to that effect. I don't think I can say the diagnosis.
Please.
It does appear appropriate, and she requested like 1.5 the time, and I'd like to make a motion that it be approved as a part of her request.
Second.
And
yes, I see that now. Thank you for catching that.
No problem. my computer will probably cooperate once the meeting's over.
Yeah.
I can't get to the page right now.
I think it's confusing.
It's on page 41, 42 right. of the application.
Yeah,
it's
right.
not in the memo part that it's mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, the memo doesn't mention the request.
Yeah, it's the last line of the memo.
Okay.
Due to the quorum application.
Yes, it's there.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm totally wrong on that.
Good catch, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. But anyway,
Dr. Meyer, could you conclude the vote?
All in favor of the motion to approve accommodation, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries with one recusal. Thank you, Dr. Flowers.
Thank you. Very good. Dr. Flowers, I can always count on you for the detail work. Incredible.
I don't want to put you down disappoint you, I should say. I don't want to put you down ever.
That's a wonderful job. Thank you for being so attentive, and thank everyone for being attentive to so many of the pages that we have to read and go through. It really demonstrates that folks are looking closely at these items. So thank you. Are there other suggestions or issues for new agenda items for future meetings? Hearing none, I'd like to move to the final agenda item, which is a motion to adjourn. And again, thank everybody for their hard work, efforts, and good luck surviving this heat wave. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I motion.
I will be up there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
I agree.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
All in favor, aye.
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 And we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.